Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God.
Cherish it. With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy.
This movie's come up quite a bit on our conversation of films done here in Portland. One of the indie films that's wildly popular, very niche, called Bong Water, starred Jack Black and Luke Wilson, filmed exclusively in Southeast Portland. And it's like one of those stoner classics.
Huh.
So.
Like Cheech and Chong kind of, a little bit?
Not really.
Not as good?
I didn't like it.
There you go.
But again, probably not my demo. Not the tree I'm barking up right there. Keep your movies coming in. Top Oregon movies. We'll get to those. But you mentioned you were really excited about Weatherman News.
Oh, I thought this was...
Boy.
I thought this was... It was legendary, what he did. I think he saved people's lives.
So, we go to Dayton, Ohio for our next story, where the local weatherman was getting flack because there were tornadoes which injured over 30, at least one dead in the report that I saw, of tornadoes in Indiana and Ohio. And there were viewers that had a gripe. And before I tell you what show it is, listen to the rant that the weatherman went on when it was tornado warning.
It's also rainy. I was just checking social media. We have viewers complaining already. Just go back to the show. No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay? It's nice rain. Think about this. This was your neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of people complaining about this. Our job here is to keep people safe, and that is what we're going to do. Some of you complain that this is all about my ego. Stop, okay? Just stop right now. It's not. I'm done with you people. I really am. This is pathetic. Dangerous situation here. All right, I'm sorry I did that. It just really bothers me that we have people that don't care about other people's safety around here. That's just ridiculous. New tornado warning here. Oh, that's the same one we had. That's headed towards central and southern Mercer County. That's till 9:45.
Fox 45's Jamie Simpson. He was on the ropes, man. He got frustrated. He was sitting there and going, looking.
So what show did he bump?
Well,
was it The Bachelor?
I was just going to set that up. That it was. He was all excited, waiting for the adoration on Twitter. Like, hey, thank you for keeping us safe and up to date. And he got, what are you doing? Turn The Bachelorette back on.
God.
People in their homes were upset that they didn't get their Bachelorette on Monday evening because a tornado was ripping through their city. Is that how dumb we are now?
Yeah, no, that we're pretty dumb. We're dumb for two reasons. One, that's number one.
That one.
Because the fact that you're going to watch The Bachelorette, that's number one. Number two is stop looking at social media to try to get adoration.
Yeah.
See, that's 100%. It's on him, too. Is like, just do your job. Don't read. What are you reading social media for?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not going to get any help from social. Social media is not going to help you do anything other than feel really bad about yourself.
Yeah, that's true. And Joe, if you could, this is a good one. We do need just stop it as a drop because he
it's really sad.
Just stop it. You can tell that guy does not get angry at much. But again, homes were ruined. People died.
It was awful.
In these tornadoes. Did like he's right. Yeah. Idiots.
Have you ever seen a tornado up close?
No. No.
I saw one in Missouri. No.
There's a part of me that if I was like with a professional storm chaser, somebody that was good, that'd be cool to do for a day.
You and Bill Paxton?
Yeah, a Twister.
Going out in Twister?
Yeah, Dorothy. We're going to take Dorothy, drop her right there. In there. We're going to save Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome.
Helen Hunt is hot. I like Helen Hunt.
You do?
Yeah, I liked her a lot. She's good. She's good.
Okay. Mad About You?
Yeah.
Paul Reiser?
Yeah. But anyway, I saw I think it was an F2, if I remember correctly. It was in Missouri and the skies. It was terrifying. I've never seen one up close.
How close were you? Like
miles.
I know miles away, but okay. Were you like 2 miles in frame of reference? What did it look like size wise?
For a funnel cloud in F2. I'm not an expert. I just remember seeing it and having it touch down, and saw it. They were saying that they were going to touch down eventually because mm-hmm. Tornado Alley just runs right through the Midwest, especially in Missouri. But when you go outside and then you're driving your car because you're getting like, I'm leaving. This is my wife wasn't there. I'm driving out of there. We're getting in training in the spring. Next thing you know, I'm getting in my car and I'm out. See ya, Audi. And we get out of the turn and I see it coming and I see the F2. It was probably, I'm going to guess, how far is it away to, sight?
What?
How far is that bridge? How far is that bridge?
The Selwood Bridge from us is probably like 2 miles.
Okay, so probably another.
Or no, it's about a mile.
Okay, so it's about a mile. At least 2 miles away. So if it's there, I saw that thing touch down. It didn't look big from where I was standing, but it was enough for me to see that, like, I'm not going to stick around.
I think that's a pretty safe bet for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's terrifying. I wouldn't want to do that.
No.
I wouldn't want to do that unless I'm with a trained professional.
Even if we were the trained professional.
At least, if he starts to get worried, you know how worried to be. Have you ever been with somebody who's like an expert on something and they go, uh-oh. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
That's the worst feeling in the world when you're like, wait, what is going to happen here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. All right. Well, tornado time.
Just
scary.
Stop it.
We're very lucky here that we don't. What's the worst weather event we have?
I'm going to ask you this personally.
It's a dusting of snow, if you're wondering. The worst weather event we have in Portland is a dusting of snow because the whole city shuts down.
You want to go natural disasters? I want to see it coming. I don't want to know that it's going to shake me to death.
I'm not saying natural disasters because the earthquake, that's the equalizer.
Earthquake, volcanic eruption? I can't see that coming. Now, tornado, I can at least see it coming. I can get out of the way. I'm going to get a warning. Not getting a warning from an earthquake.
If the big one's coming, the big one's coming. It's going to get you no matter what. I like my chances of, hey, once every 1,000 years, hey, in the next 500 years, you're going to have a mega earthquake. Mm. Geological terms, they're like, it's coming soon. Geologists think of like soon as in the next 1,000 years because they're like, the world's millions of years old. So it's coming relatively soon if you look at the whole history of the planet. I'll take my chances over that.
You feel like we're going to get another.
Having a tornado or hurricane season, I'll be okay with that.
I'm telling you, after living in the Midwest and seeing the size of hail that drops out of the sky and the tornadoes I don't know, man. It's you live here, you're like, oh, we're spoiled. But there's a monster bomb like 30 miles away, a literal bomb right there, that mountain.
Mount Hood, not active. We're okay.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
Well, I'll use a camism on you. You afraid? Go live in a bubble, bro.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. You keep telling yourself that.
It's not that bad.
I'm not saying it's bad.
And you do see volcanoes. You can see volcanoes starting to become active. An active volcano is an active volcano. Like Mount St. Helens, yes, big explosion, but the only people that died on Mount St. Helens were the ones that were too stubborn to leave when they gave them a warning of, hey, dude, this thing's going.
I know.
Now, the big earthquake, that one you won't see. Mm. And we're all just going to slip into the ocean. We'll be an island.
We live in a subduction zone. All those volcanoes are active.
Man, that's worry.
It's not worry. I'm just reality.
We're all right.
Yeah.
All right, 55305. Now we're saying it is active technically, although it's not venting.
It's plate tectonics.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Let's get back to sports after our hot geology talk. Richie Incognito is in Oakland, and Mike Mayock is sure trying to sell this one hard. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Party people!
Tag team music in full effect. That's me, DC, the Brain Supreme.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, you thought we were done with volcano talk. We're not. Did you know that Mount Rainier in 2018 was voted one of the most dangerous or second most dangerous volcano in the United States, only behind Kilauea in Hawaii?
Have you ever been to a volcano?
And then you have Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier in Alaska's Redoubt Volcano, and Mount Shasta down in Northern California are the most active and dangerous volcanoes in the United States. But they kind of, their rating system is how many people live nearby too. Sure. So Rainier with Seattle, Mount Hood is in the top 18, but that's because not a lot of volcanoes are around densely populated areas. But could you imagine Rainier, Hood, St. Helens, and Crater Lake and Shasta could all go at once. So don't be scared on Happy Wednesday on your way to work today. My God. But it's in the next 500 years, so at any point during then, it could just start happening. The big earthquake leads to the big volcanoes. Hope we make it out. Hopefully we make it out.
And that's Positivity by Dusty Hara.
Richie Incognito is the newest Oakland Raider, and he's had his laundry list of off- and on-field issues over the course of his career. He hasn't played in the league since 2017. We discussed his signing with the Raiders yesterday. But Mike Mayock, the GM of the Raiders, was asked, look, you're bringing in a guy like Incognito who has problems. You already brought in Vontaze Burfict, and you got Antonio Brown, who has issues of his own. What's going on here?
It's a fair question. You know, I've talked a lot about foundation. John and I have both talked a lot about foundation. I think we reinforced that with our draft. And I think at the end of the day, you can't have all Boy Scouts. And what you have to do is you have to do your homework on each individual case. And we've done our homework. We've talked to an awful lot of people. We brought him in. We talked to Richie. We told Richie what we'd expect both on and off the field. And we expect him to adhere to that. And we're going to meet with our player engagement people after practice. We've got our clinician coming in tomorrow, and I'm not going to go into any more of that other than to say the infrastructure will be here for him to use.
How much of that are you buying? Like he says they can't all be Boy Scouts, but aren't they kind of going over the top with Incognito and Vontaze Burfict specifically?
Well, those two players, if we're talking about it, they haven't done anything that's...
They've been arrested.
They haven't done anything that's egregious enough to not say that they can't play football, because this is the age-old question, is that other than Colin Kaepernick, I've never seen a player, and this is a Colin Kaepernick issue because of what he's done in his media storm on his choices and his political stances. But if you're non-political in the league, they will find a place for you. They will find a place if you can still play, you can contribute. Yeah. And Richie Incognito is an offensive lineman that can still, according to what Mike Mayock and what John Gruden believe, can still give you quality reps at left or right guard. I'm not a fan of the guy, but I mean, I get it. I get why they want to have veterans. They want to have a guy that they can lean on that could be a road grader in there that could give you some help at guard. I looked at these NFL teams nowadays. What are the Raiders? I mean, the Raiders' stigma is bad boys. So if they want to bring back the bad boy culture, locked and loaded, you're set up really well for that locker room.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, though, that you can pick and choose, like, I'm not talking about you. How the narrative kind of gets spun around these guys and picking and choosing what they want to call out, because Richie Incognito has gone. Remember when he retired, he wanted to become like a Fox News analyst politically. And he said he sees a lot of himself in Donald Trump, you know, and all these things. And he can go on one end and he can have a mental breakdown where he gets arrested and he at a gym and threatens to kill people. And then it's like, well, hey, if you go too hard, you're going to get blackballed, you know, Colin Kaepernick. Mm. And you're right. Kaepernick is the only guy because Eric Reed's playing in the league. Mm-hmm. Eric Reed, and he took a bold social justice stance as well. The league will tell you when you're done. And maybe it was a talent thing with Cap, you know?
Could have been. You know, if you're a quarterback, you can't throw the ball very well. They're not going to give you a shot.
But you gotta have success. Some of these guys, though, that are still in the league.
Is it good for the Raiders to have that? Is it good for them to have that kind of – well, it's good for us because it's entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's positive, but it's content. It's going to be a train wreck. I'm telling you, those Raiders this year, if they do end up on television and Hard Knocks, it's going to be great. It's going to be must-see TV. You're going to want to watch it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we watch the NFL for. It's a male soap opera. Win or lose, we like the entertainment factor. While I was finishing my career, you didn't get to see the peek behind the curtain. You didn't get to understand how the sausage was made with every single practice, how the reps that went into it, and the communication, the wives, the coaches, the interactions. And then suddenly when in that mid-2000s, that's when it just started. And now it's a 24/7 news cycle with we want to know what you're doing. We want to know how your team's matching up. We want to see inside the locker room. I want to see inside your family. I want to know what you're doing. I want to see you on social media. I want to see everything. And you just consume and you eat it up just like every other Kardashian lifestyle you want. And that is the norm. Is it good for the NFL? Doesn't matter.
It will be a massive blow up when this thing kind of comes unhinged, though. It's not if, it's when. Because we know that they're going to have their eruptions, and can John Gruden kind of handle it? It seems like he's reverted back to this old school way of building the roster in the new age of the NFL with some of the guys is from a schematic and kind of talent, assembling of talent standpoint, to all the way up to what he's trying to do with the personalities and the ego. He's going to earn every bit of that $10 million a year he gets to be the coach there, because he's going to have to be a part shrink with controlling all of the ego and loose cannons that he has on that
loose
roster.
Cannon. He's one of the loosest cannons that's in there.
Mm.
I mean, his name is Chucky for a reason. I mean, John Gruden is nuts. He's emotional. He is always on. There is a man, I'm telling you, Whatever you think that John Gruden puts on for the camera, it's not. It is not. It is a 24/7. That guy sleeps like 2 hours a night. He studies film. He's incessant. He's obsessed with what it is about football. Obsessed. And that's the way to be successful. You don't tell me that Bill Belichick is not obsessed. Those guys had cots in their offices. You weren't allowed to go home. His coaching staff wasn't allowed to go home.
Well, nobody's saying that.
No days off. Andy Reid is obsessed. These guys, to get to that point, you even leave your families. Great coaches. I mean, they don't even bat an eyelash. They're insane when it comes to being good at this. So I think that's what it takes for the Raiders to be good. But are we going to see this team just explode and blow up, or is it going to be successful?
I think it'll explode and blow up.
Well, they're in a pretty tough division because right now the LA Chargers are really good. Chiefs. Kansas City is really good. Denver, I don't know, but that's a pretty tough division.
It's going to be an uphill climb to try and get into relevance in that division, because it is
going to be fun to watch
each of them twice, and you don't have really a home field advantage as much as you used to. I mean, think of it. You're going to play in two games overseas or out of this country, one in Mexico, one in London. There's two of your home games. And then the other one, you're starting to see a lot of that attendance numbers slowly declining in Oakland because they're like, you guys are out of here. You're going to be gone in a year anyways.
I wonder how many, because you know we don't have a lot of, I don't hear a lot of Raiders fans here in Portland. I hear a lot of 49er fans because I think it's more uppity. And maybe it's more uppity because that's more of the 49er culture. But the Raider culture of what it is in Raider Nation is, I mean, they're going to speak up really quick whether they like it or not. I personally think they love this. I think it fits exactly what you're asking for from a Raider Nation. They want this kind of notoriety. They don't want to be known as the Giants brand. They also want to be known as this comfortable. They want to be Pirates. It's exactly what they want to be. They want to be ruthless, rough, dirty.
What's funny is that their owner is anything but. Like Mark Davis, people say he's one of the nicest guys. Like he's one of the nicest owners in the National Football League. He's definitely not his dad, that's for sure. And he just kind of do. But they're building a roster that Al Davis would have freaking loved. He would have loved.
Just win, baby.
Well, it's easier said than done in the NFL now, Al. Gerald McCoy is doing his free agent visits. Apparently, he's in Baltimore, and the Ravens don't want him to leave the city. But Cleveland is also thinking they still have a shot at him because of the meetings that they had and the ability that they have cap space. In fact, that Gerald McCoy's buddies with Odell Beckham, and he's looking to get a contract extension after this season is over. Mm-hmm. He may be on that 1 year plan, and both of Baltimore and Cleveland can offer him a lot of money because they're still under the cap somehow, some way.
Some amazing free agents after the draft this year.
Guys getting cut. I don't remember this many big names getting cut, though, with still a lot of talent left.
Mm-hmm. Veterans will always have a place if you can play a little bit, and guys are going to be willing to take less money.
Apparently, one team is offered $11 million, according to Cleveland Plain Dealer, but it's not a contender. He wants to make the playoffs. He wants to win.
Yeah. That's what's strange about Ndamukong Suh, but I mean, I get it.
Going to Tampa.
Yeah, he went to a place where he can reunite with that style of defense that he likes, and I get that.
How bizarre was Bruce Arians' comment about Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah, he wanted the old Suh back.
He says he wants the guy who got the penalties, who got suspensions, who was kicking quarterbacks and stomping on players.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't want the Bucks to be nice anymore.
Bruce Arians
is a tough dude.
Bruce Arians is tough, but that is, that's what made him one of the most hated players in the National Football League.
Good.
By players and fans.
Good.
All hated him. I guess as his Q rating went up, his production went down because he was pretty damn good in Detroit when everybody hated him.
Yeah. You got to have an edge. That Miami lifestyle, all that white linen and walking around down there, you paid like $70 million. You don't really get that edge anymore.
And then he went to L.A. after that.
Not much edge in L.A. either.
Not getting it from Tampa, either one of those places.
You been to Tampa?
No,
it's
thankfully.
Not great.
I've heard it's a pretty terrible place.
It's not great.
Got a lot of...
It's not great.
Gentlemen's clubs?
I don't know. It's not great.
A lot of stories from Florida Man on Twitter come from Tampa.
See?
So you have some odd news coming out of there. And their baseball team is in St. Petersburg.
Every crazy person lives in Florida, it feels like. Every story comes out of Florida. Bath salt guy running down the street.
Yep.
Guys that kill each other over their Nintendos.
You know, I was...
Remember the Xbox kid that murdered his roommate over the Xbox game?
Oh,
I mean, I'm like, who does this? This is insane.
People in Florida do. People in Florida, Cam. What is it about? Is it just because of the heat and humidity?
Yeah.
It drives you crazy?
And I think all the crazies move down from New York and they just go, oh my God, what am I doing here? And then they lose it.
Well, why don't the people, so you're saying it's the New Yorkers that do it? Because why, like no. Louisiana, I think they just go out and wander into a swamp and never come back.
Yeah, I know.
Because they have heat and humidity there, too.
Transplanted crazies.
It is transplanted crazies. Everyone goes there. It's where you go.
Like, Florida sounds fun.
It's warm.
Is that why
Portland's
weird?
There's no taxes. No state income tax.
Well, Portland was weird before the transplants.
True.
That is true.
And I think that's
why now the Californians are coming up and just
Let's go to Portland. It's so weird
man,
up there.
Let's go. We can do it, bro.
Cool.
Wow. I can wear beanie caps all year.
I think that the people of California have become hip to the fact that we're not that cool up here. I think people are going to stop moving from California.
You think they're going to go back? They can't afford it.
No, they're not going back. The ones we have, we're stuck with, okay?
Yeah, dang it.
I think we're going to start getting them from other states besides California. California, they need to go. Whoa. They're like, okay, we need to find a new state.
How about
to
you guys just go to Utah? How about you slide on over to Utah?
Be a hell of a move. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if this one
slide
pays
on
off.
Over. Mormons need you.
55305 is the Better You Today text line. Dysfunction in Lakerland, who's the most to blame? Is it Jeannie Buss, Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, or LeBron's crew? Right now is Joe Fisher with a SportsCenter update.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
We have an update to the CJ McCollum versus Skip Bayless feud. And this is what I hate about these guys.
Winner? They have a winner?
What they do is they call somebody out with an incendiary claim, and then they come back and they're like, the player claps back at them on the same social media, And like CJ McCollum did about Kawhi Leonard and was like, dude, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. Kawhi Leonard's awesome. And then Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, even Cowherd does this too. After they make that claim and the person responds, they go, well, come on the show and prove it. So it's like, oh, now you come on my show because Skip Bayless has said, anytime, anywhere, you name the date, you come on my show.
Well, at least he's and not we'll talk about down.
It. Yeah, but see, if I'm CJ McCollum, I'm going, how about you come on my podcast and then we'll talk about it? You know?
Oh, you're taking the right back over the top on you.
Right. Because all the only reason why they do it is to get ratings. And well, guess what? They're going to try and get the ratings on. So if I'm CJ, I'm going, all right, I'm going to put the ball in my court. No, you're the one making the idiot claim. You defend yourself on my podcast.
I think it benefits CJ either way because they'll download his podcast more if he goes on. There's a bigger viewership on Speak for Yourself than there is of CJ's podcast, which would benefit CJ.
Oh, that would go around all over.
I think he wins. I think he wins both directions.
I see. I don't think you win by going on with them. You just fuel them more.
Isn't that a win?
No, for CJ, how's that a win for CJ?
Because he's not going to look bad. It's CJ. He's
well.
He
no,
knows what
you
he's
fuel them more, the trolls, and by going on their shows and appeasing them on in their ratings grab that they want.
Oh, well, I look at it as successful for both. I think that's what we're in. What we're up against now.
Golly, but that's your update. There's more dysfunction than on just FS1. The Lakers have got serious issues after Baxter Holmes of ESPN. Had a in-depth and scathing article called Lakers 2.0 on ESPN, where he just outlined everything that's been going on and wrong with the cornerstone franchise of the NBA. I mean, it is, say what you want about the Lakers. We can hate them up here in Portland. It's the best franchise in the National Basketball Association. It is, from a legacy standpoint, championships and what they've done. If you want to say Boston, go ahead. But Lakers, the Lakers made the NBA way more popular than Boston did, you know, by winning and the stars that they had and the popularity of that franchise. And it's a mess right now. And it's Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson, and LeBron James's crew's fault.
Isn't that incredible that the Lakers had won a championship just 9 years ago?
Yeah, you would never
know. You would think it was 100 years ago, the way the talk is.
Yeah. Well, it's because how bad they've been. Do you know that they tie the New York Knicks as the most losses in the NBA since that year? That was in the Baxter Holmes piece. Mm-hmm. They are tied. The Knicks and the Lakers have lost more games. I think it might be the last 5 years. Than any other team in the NBA.
When you go mom and pop, when you start hiring friends and you do what the Lakers have done, they haven't embraced analytics. They don't have a direction of their scouting department. Who knows the tangled web of priority of who's making and calling shots? We don't know anything about the Lakers. When they pitch somebody, they walk in with pieces of paper and they say, here. And on the piece of paper, it just shows a Laker sticker. That's the pitch, because once you become a Laker, we don't need to say anymore. I mean, for years and years and years, you could just roll out this piece of paper and say, Laker. Now, I don't need it. Giannis, I don't need it. I'm in Milwaukee. I'm on TV. I can make just as money, much more money in Milwaukee. I don't need to be that. I don't want to be a Hollywood star. I don't want to be an actor. I don't need that. I don't have that. Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to do that. That's not enticing to me. So if every team is on the same platform, what do the Lakers offer? Honestly, right now, if you're a free agent, tell me what the Lakers offer.
Endorsement opportunities just by being in Los Angeles.
So money. But do you think at the day and age with the way players and the way how much money they make? Remember, if I do go to LA and I go to the state of California, I'm already taking half anyway.
Well,
so if I'm taking half, the future is, do I want to be in the entertainment business? I think you look at it that way, maybe these guys don't want to be in the entertainment eye. They want to play basketball. They want to win a championship. Who's the closest to winning a championship?
What two players have you seen the most on commercials in this postseason?
Giannis. Mm-hmm. Giannis.
Harden. Harden. The State Farm commercials, Farms. Every other commercial.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm just not watching. I'm looking at
Giannis in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Harden in Houston. You don't have to be in LA anymore. There are two teams in Los Angeles and two teams in New York. Have you seen a player from either any of those four franchises on any commercials? When's the last time you did? You know, it's LeBron, obviously, but you don't see him getting much run on commercials because he's got a $1 billion shoe deal with Nike. You know, he doesn't need to do the commercials. But these guys, like, there's four teams in New York and LA. You don't need to be there anymore. Those are the guys we always used to see. We don't need them.
Think about the biggest markets in basketball right now. Biggest markets, Houston, LA, Chicago, New York. Who's the only quality basketball program?
Houston.
Houston. That's a huge market. Houston's massive.
Yep, fourth.
You don't have any, you don't have to be there anymore.
No.
You got no allure. Boston obviously is there too, but I mean, it's right there in that mix. But of those groups, you have New York and LA. They are the pinnacle for years and years. And I mean, it's just, they're both dumpster fires. It's embarrassing.
Yep. And with the Lakers, it's their own fault. And if I think if you're going to try and, if you want to place blame, Genie Bus is a good place to start because there was also a pretty jarring couple paragraphs in the Baxter Holmes piece that said she believes in fate and she believes that everything that happens to that franchise is for the purpose, you know, happened for a reason.
I can't fault her on that.
Well, instead of taking responsibility and culpability for what decisions she has made, and that is seems to be from top to bottom exactly what's plagued this franchise is, Jeannie Buss was never held responsible by herself, which is what the ownership should do. Magic was never by Jeannie. Rob Pelinka, not by anybody. And LeBron James and his agent and business partners, they're not held accountable for anything either.
I said it earlier in the show. It's 100% on Jerry Buss for not teaching his kids what it's like and how to run a business. He protected them. He isolated them. He let them have their lavish lifestyle and their young, successful lifestyle of everything they needed and sitting next to every star and being there and never understood what it's like to run a massive franchise. You know, he was elite because he had to start it from the ground up and was around successful people. Name the successful people that have been involved since the kids have taken over. None. Mitch Kupchak? I mean, no offense. I mean, what was his best deal? Timothy Mozgov? Was it Kobe? So if you
at least Mitch had a track record.
Okay. But there is, you have to take responsibility for being inept. And I think that's really what Jeannie Buss is now admitting is that if she wants to fate, did you run a business on fate?
No,
I don't think so.
And that's what's jarring and alarming about what they're doing. I mean, it is unbelievable.
But would you be incentivized? I asked this earlier in the show too. I said, would you be incentivized if every day you woke up, there was $1 million in your mailbox to be better? How, if you don't know how to do it.
Well, and that's the thing is she doesn't take accountability for anything there. So there isn't that check and balance because there's no repercussions for it. And she doesn't care.
And would we be talking about any other franchise other than the Lakers right now if it was bad? We don't talk about Atlanta.
We've talked about this level of dysfunction with the Knicks. Remember when the Isaiah Thomas stuff all came out about their workplace environment? We talked about it with the Knicks. And it's really, those two franchises have no reason to underachieve the way that they are. There's
no
reason.
Phil Jackson ran them perfectly either.
The Knicks? No. Yeah. No, they were a dumpster fire there too. Yeah. And, you know, that goes back to Jeannie Buss too, because I know that they broke up, but who is the person that she leaned on for basketball advice? A guy who went to New York and was horrible at basketball operations. And Phil Jackson.
Phil's an elite coach. Not the best
so?
GM.
I mean, Magic Johnson was an elite player. These guys, you can be good at one and terrible at the other.
I just think that the Lakers brand doesn't carry the same weight anymore, and they're not dealing well with that. They're not dealing well with it. It used to be easy. You could just get everybody. It was easy. It's not easy anymore.
Well, and the thing that's amazing about it is it's adapt or die. That's what life and sports are, is adapt or die. The Lakers and Knicks have not adapted. You see the Clippers have. The Nets have. The Nets are a playoff team. Now, they went into the tank for a long time because, you know, Billy King kind of ran them into the ground. But here they are. They're coming back, and they're making actually some pretty smart moves. And now that they have their first picks back from Boston, they've adapted. An 80-year-old is running the Clippers, and he is adapting far better than the Lakers are. You got to change.
I don't think they're not changing anything. They're not changing anything.
The Lakers?
No.
Well, if they don't, it's going to get worse. And as a Blazer fan, that does not bother me one bit.
Yeah, clap it up.
All right. The man who's having the most fun in all of Major League Baseball, next on The Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
The man who's having the most fun in all of baseball is Derek Dietrich of the Cincinnati Reds. Have you seen this guy, Derek Dietrich? He's the guy that started the brawl with the Pirates earlier this year because of his majestic bat flip.
Yeah.
And the one that...
I remember that.
That Puig went crazy.
Yeah.
And wanted to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, they were playing the Pirates again. And he went 3-for-4 with 3 dangers. Mm. He went Big Al. He hits dangers. And he just went off. Bat flip after bat flip. And then on his third one, he hits the home run, does the Jordan shrug towards his dugout, running down the first baseline. Like, I don't know what's going into me. We got into me.
I'm in a zone.
I don't know. And then he gets to home plate, and he starts counting on his own fingers. He's like, 1, 2, 3 home runs. And the guy has got wears like a massive gold chain. He just looks like he's having a blast out there. And he also is the guy that dressed up in the beekeeper. Yeah. Outfit earlier.
Good for
this
baseball,
year.
Bad for baseball.
Awesome for baseball. Awesome. And he is, he's having the most fun of anybody in the game right now. I mean, he pimps every single home run. He says that the thing that he loves about Cincinnati is he can finally be himself and finally be free and have fun.
So I had an old, just went bat-ass crazy on me on Facebook because I've been thinking about this and I've never even met this guy. Okay. Old baseball guy just went bonkers. Like, first of all, get off my social media. And just said, this is the game.
Well,
it's ruining the disrespect. Oh, I just, we were filming a Little League game and my son hit a home run.
Oh.
And I put it on Twitter. He's like, and then he was frustrated. So he took it out on the bat a little bit. He kind of like, die, because he had struck out the last two times at bat.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a great post.
So he flipped the bat, kind of threw the bat down, and I was like, let's do that.
He spiked it. It was great.
Yeah. Guy just went bonkers. Old, just an old curmudgeon. I'm like, get off my... And it's just maybe the world is right now is we have two factions of baseball people. We have what's holding it back and what's going to move it forward. What's holding it back is the ones that sit there and tell you that what you're looking at, what Dietrich is doing, it's terrible for the baseball game. It's terrible. Unwritten rules, it's terrible. And then the other faction is saying, if we're going to progress, and I said this too about watching women's softball, it's so entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Do I think baseball needs to adapt a little bit like women's softball? I'm not saying that needs to happen. But to look like you're having more fun, I think that's really what baseball, because it's a game of losing anyway.
Yeah.
Why do you want to be so miserable all the time and be so strict and so... traditional, and he just, how many baseball players do you see smiling, having fun? Does Mike Trout ever look like he's having fun? Majority of times, it's business. Yeah. Looks like business.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper looks like he's having fun, doesn't he?
Bryce Harper does.
Does Aaron Judge look like he's having fun? He's kind of all business.
Yeah.
The Yankees look like they're having fun. Pinstripes and business.
No,
shade,
no facial hair.
High and tights.
That's my other thing I love about Derek Dietrich. He's got a sweet mullet. He's from Cleveland. Yeah. He went and played in Miami for the Marlins, and he came back with a massive gold chain, and he like greases his hair, slicked back mullet. It's a great look.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the Dodgers look like they're having a lot of fun.
Heck yeah.
They're playing really well, and they're playing really good. Now, if they don't get out of their own way and stop with the analytics come playoffs times, they're going to lose again, because you can't win baseball in just winning analytics. You got to eventually feel that out. But I think you watch somebody like your team, Houston, some of these teams that are enjoying it, and you can see it when they're...
They have a blast.
Now, winning also helps. certainly, if you're Baltimore or you're Seattle, you're not getting every Jones in for the ballpark every single day.
This is why I love Derek Dietrich. He plays on a 26-29 ball club. They're not, the Reds aren't good. And he's just like, okay, what are we going to be miserable out here for? Right. We get paid to play a game.
No, that's the other
thing,
too.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Enjoy every second of it.
Yeah.
You're one hit away, you're one throw away, you're one slot. I just think baseball can look more entertained.
Yes.
As a group.
Act like you're having fun out there.
Don't even act like it. Just do it. Be so dang upset.
Cubs? Has anyone been paying attention to what the Cubs have done? Remember when they were ready to fire Joe Maddon at the beginning of the year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're like ready to give him an extension now, probably. Yeah.
$6 million a year.
And guess what? That's a team that likes to have some fun, too. The manager's loose. It's a light team. You got guys like Chris Bryant and Rizzo, who they're not afraid to smile on a baseball team. It's a novel concept.
Yeah, don't do that.
I think it's great. I want more Derek Dietrichs of the world. And I think we are going to get him. I really do. I think the new wave of baseball players are watching.
I hope you're right.
Because if they take a look at guys like Dietrich, Bregman, Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Guess who's going to get the endorsements?
Yeah.
Like, guess who the guys that are getting endorsements?
Yeah.
It's the
ones that are entertaining.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean,
mesmerizing.
You're starting to see them pop up on your little internet ads of the players that are enjoyable. They are the ones that are
talking
you products.
One I'm really loving to watch is Cody Bellinger. That dude is a raking right now.
Yeah.
He's an MVP candidate. Him and Christian Yelich.
Yelich is awesome.
Yeah, Yelich is spectacular. Not as gregarious.
No.
But still, the dude is
every
uber
now and then he'll have a social media post that you laugh at. And obviously chugging beer at Bucks games. He's super relatable.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Travis Kelce out there.
That's right.
Slamming Coors Lights.
Slamming. I think he was drinking Miller Lite, which
he's from Milwaukee.
Was it Kelce?
Talking Yelich.
No. No. Kelce, he's from Cincinnati, which there we go. Cincinnati's right up that alley. All right, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Thank you for being a part of our day and letting us be a part of yours. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3 during Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Then we get the Hot Corner Up with Harrison Lynch after that. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday right here on The Fan.